Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. As God prepares your soul for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. Feel free to place your cares into the hands of the one who cares for you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The opening song is, What Can Separate You?
Forever, he left no stone unturned, and before the birth of time, Jesus had you on his mind. You can trust, you'll never fall from his concern. So, what can separate you from the precious love? And who could ever come against his strong and perfect love? So when you're in the valley and the nights are cold and lonely, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Remember, nothing can separate you from God's love. He numbers each and every star and calls them all by name to see that they are in this place. He knows the same, and if he cares for every stone, then he sees right where you are. You can trust, you'll never fall from his embrace. Oh, what can separate you? Precious love of God, and who could strong and perfect love. So when you're in the valley and the nights are cold and lonely, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Remember, nothing can separate you from neither pain nor sorrow. Not today and not tomorrow. Nothing past or nothing present. Nothing future, nothing ever. Remember, what can separate you from the precious love of God? And who could ever come again?
I don't think they like that one, June. Do you guys like that one? Come on, give girlfriend a little props there. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for your glorious riches. Thank you for your strength, which you provide through the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit, from deep within the new man that you have given us. Thanks for the indwelling of Christ in those of us who believe in him. Thank you for perfecting us through the suffering which you richly provide. Light the path of this ministry. Show us the way. And at the proper time, give us the resources that you have already set aside for us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. This lesson, the future of Barah Ministries. Real short lesson. It doesn't have one. Thank you. Jim? Who's laughing? Am I laughing? No. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is April 13th, 2014. That is my birthday. I will be accepting cash presents. Mark your calendars. The Resurrection Day celebration is April 20th. And that's a great time to bring friends because this is one of the two times of the year when people are very open to coming to church. So by all means, bring some friends. Mark your calendars. Face-to-face teaching change next week. We will not be here on Sunday. Instead, we will be here on Monday night, the Hilton Chandler, March 31st, 2014, from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And so we're trying something different along the way, and we please invite you to join us. I did not want to be here alone, so please clear your schedules and find a way to get over here. We really appreciate that. Mark your calendars. There's a deacons meeting on April 6, 2014 from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., so put that on your calendars. If there's any conflict, please let me know. There is a yard sale on April 12th at the future home of Barah Ministries at 573 East Guadalupe Road in Gilbert, Arizona, the corner of Burke and Guadalupe. Donations needed desperately. Contact Mike Embry, who is coordinating that activity. Please. I think that's something you need to ask Mike, and he'll be happy to tell you where to bring it. I don't think you want to wait until the day of, though, because I think you should get them here earlier than that, okay? Or get them wherever Mike wants you to get them, earlier than that. And I think he said he's even willing to pick stuff up, so, yeah. We are, June Murphy has a concert with the Charles Lewis Quartet at Kerr Center, 6110 North Scottsdale Road in Scottsdale on Thursday night, May 27th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Oh, they're happy about that. Does that cost anything?
$25.
$25 is the contribution to see June in concert. Are you in concert by yourself with the group?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. So, too bad I can't be here. No, I'm serious. And too bad I can't be there. I'm going to be in San Jose, but I would love to see that. I've always wondered what you would be like with a quartet. So, maybe one of these days we could see that here in Barah Ministries, what it would be like.
Oh, it's March.
Oh, March, sorry. It's not May, it's March. So it's this coming week, right? Yeah, so it's this Thursday. Thank you. You're so observant. All right, that's what happens when, you know, the messages come in late. Yeah. Now, let me change that right now. I don't even want that. I don't even want that. I want people to actually see that change. How's that? March. Is that better? Is that better? We are moving to a new location. The target date is April 27th. We'll be moving to 1220 South Alma School Road, which is the corner of Alma School and Southern, into Suite 201 in Mesa, Arizona. Now, I said the target date is April 27th because I wanted to give my deacons an opportunity to get the space set up. The place has to be painted. A new door is going to be added to it. Locks are going to be put on the door. Electric outlets that need to be moved. The internet needs to be brought into the situation. All the equipment needs to be moved in and set up. We need to get an insurance certificate, and there needs to be a podium, a platform built, podiums moved in. So there are a lot of things that are part of that. And so I am not as optimistic as my deacon corps is about how fast we can get into that space. So I've said April 27th to give plenty of time for that to occur. If we can get in sooner, that'd be great. I would consider it a great birthday present if we could get in by April 13th, but I am not interested in rushing perfection because we're going to be living there for three years. So we signed a three-year lease in this space, and my expectation is that will be the place that we are before we move into our permanent home. So we've always called this in nickname our temporary permanent location, and I'm glad to be moving there for a lot of reasons, which I'll go into very shortly. So those are the announcements. In just a moment, we're going to welcome up Deacon Denny to take the offering. Let's remember to give with the motivation that is suggested in Scripture. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each one must do just as he has purposed in his own heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. And so today's offering will be handled by Deacon Denny Goodall. Let's welcome him up.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any material for Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. And we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both to yourself and for others. So I've heard a story one Sunday. Satan actually appeared to a congregation. And when he appeared, the whole church got up and stampeded to the back door and frantically rushing just to get out of there. Except after the dust settled, there was one guy still sitting in his chair. Satan walked up to him and said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "Yep, sure do." He said, "Well, you know, why aren't you scared of me? Or, you know, aren't you scared of me?" And the guy said, "Nope, sure ain't." So the guy said, you know, or Satan asked him, now he's kind of mad, and he asked him, you know, "Why are you still here?" He said, "Well, I've been married to your sister for 48 years. So that's real unconditional love right there. And that's what God has for all of us. And I've been thinking about it a lot, especially with that plane that went missing, the Malaysian Flight 370. It got me thinking about a lot of people that have come and gone through this church. You know, we've seen a lot of people come here and spend a lot of money and time, and then they've disappeared for one reason or the other. And really, it doesn't matter now. But, you know, the people on that flight, they didn't have a choice. They disappeared. But the people that came here, they had a choice. They left on their own will. So, you know, I hope that those that have come that are new, you see this as your church too. This isn't my church. This isn't Rory's church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. So this is everybody's church. And so for this week's verse, I chose Romans 12:2 or 12:12. So I want to talk to the people that have been here, you know, to keep rejoicing in hope. And those that are going to stay, keep persevering in tribulation, because this church is going to grow. I know without a doubt, like Pastor said, we're praying for it. It's going to happen. You know, just not on our time frame. And to keep us all devoted to prayer, whether you're new or old or whatever it is. So as Pastor said, you know, as you give to this church, remember to give, you know, of your own will, not like you feel like you have to force to be given or anything. So with that, we're not going to come around anymore with the baskets. Elliot won't come around and elbow you to give money. So we'll just keep the baskets in back, and as you feel the need to give, go ahead and just put them in the baskets. All right? Thanks, guys.
sinner's heart.
Welcome back. This lesson is about the future of Berea Ministries. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ calls all Christians to a standard of excellence. And that standard of excellence is, the greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest among you shall be your servant. The pastor of Berea Ministries welcomes the challenge, the call to be a servant. Berea Ministries has existed for 15 years. It began at my living room table here in Phoenix in 1999 and it has grown into a worldwide ministry that reaches people by teaching the Word of God both in face-to-face setting and through the Internet. Henry Brooks Adams, an American historian and a member of the Adams family, that is the two presidents, Adams, not, you know, Morticia and those guys, said this, a teacher affects eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops. A teacher affects eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops. And this is certainly true of the teacher called Berea Ministries. We can't tell where its influence goes, and we can't tell where its influence stops. We can only hope that we are being the kind of influence our God wants us to be. We hope that we have the influence of servants. Berea Ministries is a work in progress. This session is called The Future of Berea Ministries because looking into our past and the struggle that has brought us to this point in our existence is a bit too painful. especially to the one on whose back the struggle was born, and that's me. But I take comfort in this promise, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, God the Father, who called you to his eternal glory in union with Christ, will himself personally perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. In a nutshell, that is the future of Barah Ministries. It will be perfect and strong. It will be confirmed and established, and I cling to that promise. Five men have surfaced to assist me with the challenge of leading Barah Ministries. Larry Collins has moved here with his family, and he has chosen the task of being the coordinator of operations for Barah Ministries. I have you should have a sheet in front of you that is, I don't have that sheet. Could I have one? So, and we'll put this up online, right? So people can see it, download it, right? So you should have a sheet like this. Does everybody have that? And so you see at the top of that list is Larry Collins. He has moved his family here and has chosen the task of being the coordinator of operations for Barah Ministries. In many situations, I have been the roadblock to progress of Barah Ministries. And I don't have the mental, emotional, or actual capacity to do all the things this ministry needs while simultaneously studying and teaching. The Lord has sent Larry to be the roadblock to all future progress. Yeah, the Lord has sent Larry. I have been the roadblock up to now, and the Lord has sent Larry to be that roadblock from now on. That was really funny. I mean, when you think about that later on, you'll really, I mean, it'll hit you, and it'll just be like, oh, wow, that was funny. So, in the short time that Larry has been here, he has helped us pick up the pace of progress, and I am grateful for him, both for his style of operating and for his commitment. And I'm also happy to be getting to know Pat Collins, his wife, and I'm appreciative of her constant encouragement. Rafael Vallejo has volunteered for the task of fundraising. His task is to find the $2 million that is necessary to build a facility for Barah Ministries on our land at 573 East Guadalupe Road in Gilbert. By the way, that land has appreciated by $50,000 in 2 years. I appreciate Rafael for his attitude of commitment and for the infectious laughter and humor that he brings to the assignment. And the funniest thing is that he hasn't found us any money yet, but I'm sure that will change. Deacon Denny Goodall continues to be a stabilizing force within Barah Ministries. His easygoing manner, his great sense of humor, and his undying support of his pastor is greatly appreciated. For almost 7 years, Denny has had the task of bringing all the things we need to broadcast our lessons to and from our wherever location we are every week without fail. And I am delighted that we are moving to a location which allows us to set up our equipment permanently so that we can free Denny up to use his considerable knowledge of the Word of God to create evangelistic publications with me that serve the people to whom Barah Ministries is reaching out. Deacon Caleb Alburn and Deacon Elliot Clark have volunteered for the task of developing a teen ministry. I think it's a perfect outlet for their creativity and a great place to express their spiritual gift, which I believe to be a teaching gift. Time will tell. If you go back and look at the titles of their lessons over the last year, they are constantly calling us to look deep inside ourselves. Most recently, are you all in? Are you curious? Are you willing to be vulnerable? My hope for these young men is that they don't forget to apply these lessons to themselves. And I am looking forward to seeing what tangible things their curiosity and vulnerability and all-inness produce to affect the lives of others through Barah Ministries. This church is called Barah Ministries for a reason. It houses many ministries, each of which is designed to be of service to our community. At the head of each ministries is a person. Each of these ministries is a person who has decided to express a spiritual gift in a particular way. By community, I mean this. Our first responsibility is to the people who consider themselves to be members of Barah Ministries. I hope people in Barah Ministries become like a phenomenal family to each other. I hope we become a body. I hope we are intimate. I hope we are a body of Christ, a group of people who can be counted on. Our second responsibility is to the people of Gilbert, Arizona. I think we have been remiss in not finding out how we can serve the needs of this community, which are several. Our third responsibility is to the people in the community called Phoenix, Arizona. And I think we have been remiss in not finding out how we can serve the needs of this community. Yet I see us reaching out to find ways to serve. Our veterans ministry, headed by Susie Embry, is an example. Susie has been a source of much personal encouragement and support during her time here, and I appreciate her very much. The work we're doing for the veterans is a lot of fun. They keep asking us to do more, including asking us to teach lessons. And the facility, however, has a policy against proselytizing, and I have no intention of teaching any lesson anywhere without proselytizing. So I certainly understand their concerns, but no thank you. You should have in your hands a list of the ministries we have today, along with the people who coordinate these ministries. And here are some of the highlights. Van Brumbach has been instrumental in getting our video ministry established and getting us into what we like to call our temporary permanent location. We signed a 3-year lease, and hopefully this will be our last stop before we move into a building on our land. Tracy Bixby, a member of our non-resident congregation, has volunteered to lead an evangelism effort. It includes getting us a presence on Facebook, a presence on YouTube, a YouTube channel, a blog, and the development of a series of evangelistic messages that attract people to Barah Ministries. I'm really excited to be working with her on this project. I think my personal involvement in our evangelism is critical. We are no longer waiting for an evangelist. Instead, we must attract people to the ministry through evangelism. Mike Embry has taken over the maintenance of our land, and he's doing a fantastic job. Mike is someone I trust and someone I know I can count on, and it's a pleasure to have his results orientation in play in this ministry. Raquel Garcia, who is a financial whiz, has volunteered to handle the finances of Barah Ministries. And it is my pleasure to hand off this crucial responsibility to someone I trust and to someone with whom I have worked in the financial arena for quite a few years. Barah Ministries is one of the few small ministries that actually has finances. My taking a salary has helped that, but I decided that this year is the time when that generosity has to stop. Raquel will be getting our financial picture in order so that we can be prepared to acquire the funding for our building project. Our nursery is coordinated by Mandy Auburn. She needs help in that area, and we would appreciate it if some of you would step forward. My slides are being handled by Debbie Kramer and Pat Collins, and I'm happy to have them on board to assist with this vital part of my work as a pastor, and they started that today. Larry and I are coordinating the development of the architectural plans for the new facility on Guadalupe Avenue. In April, we will be inviting you to meet with our architect and to give your input on the new facility, and we're not really asking you for that feedback, we're telling you we want it. So that when you get in there, you know that something that you said is part of it. And I have a very inclusive attitude toward feedback. So if you intend to be in that facility, it would be a good idea for you to meet with the architect and to tell the architect what you want in that facility. And this would not be a time for you to pull the, I don't want to give any feedback, and then go in and criticize what has been done without your feedback. We have needs. We need someone to coordinate prayer meetings. We need someone with the expertise to take over the administration of technology, which includes the development of the website and making it user-friendly. That is a desperate need. We have Mark Pomeroy doing that now, and he does a fantastic job, but this is not his home ministry. He's doing that out of the goodness of his heart. And I know that Mark will continue to help us as much as he can, but this is something that we have to have on our own property. This is a capability that we have to have on our own property. In the new location, we are ready for new technology, new video, new audio, and new approaches to the internet. We'd like to be able to stream live. We want to have the internet fast in the place. There are a lot of things that we'll be able to do with a temporary permanent location that we were not able to do as a mobile ministry. We need someone to handle audio. Currently, Larry Collins is doing it. And if you look at this sheet and you see the same name in a lot of boxes, that's a bad idea. At the proper time, we need someone to coordinate our missionary activity outside of our community into the world community. But since charity begins at home, first things first. We need someone to coordinate our fundraisers. For now, Debbie, Pat, and Larry are at the helm. Our emphasis for this year and next is evangelistic. We need to attract people to the ministry. We have an excellent message. I was just talking about this recently, that during the time when I was evaluating ministries to go to, one of the things that I would do is I would go into a place and I would write down how long the service was, and then I would write how much time was devoted to each part of the service. And what I would see typically is we would have about 15 minutes devoted to announcements, about 15 minutes devoted to music, about 15 minutes devoted to begging, about 10 minutes of jokes, and about 5 minutes of real message. And usually the first Bible verse came somewhere around 45 to 50 minutes into the lesson. And that cotton candy approach to Christianity is disgusting to me. And we don't do that. And we have very excellent messages here as far as I'm concerned. It's one of the best things that we do. But we need to bring people to that message. Since we don't have miracles at our disposal like Christ did, I am not able, I've tried as much as I can, but I am not able to turn 2 loaves and 5 fishes and feed 5,000 people. Since I can't do that, and I don't think anybody in here can either, it's time for us to recognize that evangelistic work is really critical to the growth of a ministry, and a ministry that is not growing is dying. And we are not content to just sit here and have a few people in the seats, and I am not content as a pastor to stare at a bunch of empty seats. And I think that we have, as a ministry, thought that somehow God's going to drop people into the seats. He certainly does that. But he does that through people, and them people is us. And so anybody here who thinks that this ministry shouldn't grow has the wrong mindset toward this ministry. This ministry absolutely should grow and absolutely needs to grow. And to grow it, we have to do evangelistic work. The way other ministries do it is they use the music ministry. They use ministries within the church. They use different things to attract people, and then they keep them by sharing the message with them. And so that's what we expect to have happen here, that we expect to have you bring people to those ministries. I mean, you see the things that people need all the time. You see people in your periphery who need stuff. And we need to have what they need so that they can come here and they can get the truth of the Word of God in their souls. So what you will see is a development of the ministry to teens, which will bring parents. I think you'll see a ministry to parents, which will bring teens. I think you will see evangelistic publications. You'll see a revised music ministry. June Murphy does a fantastic job with the music ministry. She's a great writer of songs, a great singer of songs, but she alone is not enough. We need more people involved in that ministry, and we need a different flair to have that ministry be attractive. And so that's something that we're responsible for bringing to our experience. And when we brought a guitarist in, when Caleb brought his friend, the guitarist in from Seattle, everybody was, oh, man, that's so cool. Because, you know, most of you like stupid music anyway. So, and I'm not saying his music was stupid music, but I'm just saying, you know, you ever listen to the stuff that the deacons put on? You ever listen to the stuff the deacons put on their lesson? It's techno, right? You know, and I made the mistake of critiquing it one day, and I just offended them deeply in their souls. So obviously, there are people who have different tastes than I do, and I think it's an important thing for us to serve those tastes, don't you, deacons?
Amen.
Go to hell. So I think an expanded internet presence will also be absolutely critical to this effort. If you think about it, there are people in the non-resident congregation who only get contact with this ministry through downloading things from the internet or watching things on the internet. I don't think that's enough. I think they need contact with people, and I don't think homecoming once a year is enough contact for them. And so we need to do conferences in their areas, and we need to go out and have a physical presence with those people because they provide well over half of our support financially. And so in the future, that's what we're going to do. We've been doing that. We've got a Coeur d'Alene conference. We're looking to coordinate a conference. The Coeur d'Alene conference is in the third quarter, the July, August, September quarter. We're looking to coordinate a conference in the Pennsylvania area in the fourth quarter. But we need one of these every quarter because that has been one of the evangelistic activities that we have conducted over the course of time that has brought people to this ministry. And so we need to exploit that. Now, what is it that the leaders of Barah Ministry stand for is the next thing I'd like you to know. One thing we stand for is that our God is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is God, and we believe that there is no other God other than Him. We also believe that our passion is everything that is written in the 66 books of the Bible. It is our source of truth. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ answered Satan, and he said, 'It is written, man shall not live on physical food alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" What the leaders of Barah Ministry stand for in mission is to develop relationships with people by communicating the good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's person and his work to individuals in a lost and dying world, one person at a time. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make students in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I requested of you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Our God commanded us to go forth, and in our starting with our own community and expanding out into the other communities, to go forth and make students. The greatest of you shall serve. What the leaders of Barah Ministry stand for, our mission is to assist believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with the challenge of spiritual growth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "You believers in Christ are to grow in the sphere of my grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." What the leaders of Barah Ministry stand for, our mission is to develop a body of Christ, whether resident or non-resident, that is encouraging to each other in the faith. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 commands us to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. The leaders of Barah Ministries are committed to expressing God's unconditional love. All are welcome here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Divinely loved ones, if God loved us unconditionally, and he did, we ought to also love one another unconditionally." Now, the one thing I have noticed both in life and in this ministry is that when we stop expecting everyone else to do things for us, when we stop expecting others to lead us, when we stop expecting others to motivate us, when we stop expecting others to hand our ministries to us, when we stopped expecting others to tell us what to do, when we stopped expecting others to tell us our spiritual gift, when we stop expecting perfect dynamics to exist before we act, but when we stop expecting to have confidence without going through the confusion to the clarity beforehand, when we stop expecting that being in relationships with people will not have challenges, when we decide to have a responsibility to God to do these things ourselves, that's when ministries are born. And I don't believe you heard me, so I'm going to repeat that. Amen? When we stop expecting others to lead us, all the people who have left the ministry always point to the leadership and they say, I don't like the leadership. Well, we don't like you either. We don't like you either. You know why? Because we don't like satellites. We don't like people who come circuit the ministry from afar in the air and then point at the people in the arena and talk about what they ought to be doing differently. If you want to critique the ministry, critique it from the floor. Critique it from the arena. If you're rolling up your sleeves and you're getting your nose bloodied and you're getting dirty, then you can say anything you want about this ministry and it will not only be listened to, it'll be changed. And that has been the experience of the people who are in the arena. And even the people in the arena every once in a while start pointing fingers at the leadership. If I could lead this ministry alone, I wouldn't want to. And I have tried to do that for 6 years. And you know what I got? An F. So there's the arena. There are the satellites. They circuit a ministry, and then they go to another ministry, and they circuit that ministry, and they critique it. And then they circuit another ministry, and they critique it. But they never land, and they never get their face marred with dust and sweat and blood. And to those people, I say, we aren't even interested in capturing you. Come in, get whatever you can, and then go on and critique the next group. There are some people who sit up in the stands, and they are spectators. They are voyeurs. They're not in life. They're dead. But they look at life, and they watch, and, you know, they critique too, but silently, and they're just watching. You're welcome to watch. We got a lot of watchers in Barah Ministries. The people that I'm focused on are the people who are in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood. I am not focused on the people who know neither victory nor defeat. It was actually pretty funny to see Mike coordinating this yard sale. And, you know, he came up to me last week and he said, hey, Pastor, can you help me? I said, what do you need, Mike? He said, I need you. I mean, we don't have anything for the yard sale. I really want this to go well. He desperately wants it to go well. Well, Mike just got his first dose of what it's like to be in the arena. And it's not his first dose. He's done other things, but that's a big dose. And there's a frustration that happens when you get in the arena and you find out that everybody's just not willing to cooperate with you. Everybody doesn't think you have a great idea. Everybody doesn't want to follow you. And so that's a whole nother program, isn't it? And those are the people that I like in this ministry. Those are the people who have been scarred by getting on the field, getting in the arena. Those are the people who make a difference in this ministry. The satellites don't make a difference. The spectators don't make a difference. We're looking for people to be in the arena. So you get to make your decision. And I have spent the 6 years that I've been a pastor trying to change that dynamic. Yet that dynamic exists wherever I go. That dynamic exists in families. That dynamic exists at work. That dynamic exists at a baseball game. That dynamic exists on every team I've ever seen or been on. There are some people who do the work, and there are some people who watch. And the ratio is about one worker to nine watchers. That's called capitalism. And I accept that. Everybody who stepped to the front of this ministry accepts that. Everybody who stepped to the front of this ministry does not complain about that. But in the compassion of our heart, we absolutely don't want that for you. We want a different experience for you. But one thing I have learned in my six decades on the planet is the power of will. And I have not been good enough to ever circumvent anybody's will. And I have tried hard. I am one of the great coercers of all time. And it, frankly, does not work. Frankly, it ruins relationships. Expecting others to motivate us. Motivation must come from within. Motivation from without never works. Expecting others to hand us our ministries. How am I to know what you're good at? Pastor, what is my ministry? I don't know what your ministry is. That's between you and God. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to get yourself on the field and try? I guarantee you this, sitting there and doing nothing is not the way you're going to find a ministry. It is not a pigeon, and it is not going to fly over your head and take a poop on your head. It will be discovered in the arena. Expecting others to tell you what to do. Yeah, that doesn't work in a church. I don't know where that works. I haven't ever seen it work anywhere. But who wants to live your life for you? Who really wants to tell you what to do? I know I don't. Expecting others to tell us our spiritual gift. How would I know what your spiritual gift is unless you put it on display? It was easy for me to see that Deacon Elliott has a teaching gift. When he gets up in front, he's pretty articulate. It was easy for me to see Deacon Caleb has a teaching gift. It's pretty easy to see when they get up front and teach a lesson. It's also pretty easy for them to understand what it's like to be a pastor when they're doing one lesson and it takes them all week when I was doing three. Experience. That's what matters. Expecting perfect dynamics to exist before we act. Expecting the confidence to be there before the confusion and clarity. Never happens. It always starts with confusion, and confusion lasts a really long time. I don't know what they're telling me. I don't know what the messages are. I don't know what to do. Welcome to the game. Welcome to the game. Expecting to have confidence without going through those stages. Expecting when we stop expecting that being in relationships with people will not have challenges. Being in relationship with people has challenges. One of the greatest books that I would ever write would be to tell you what I actually experience as a pastor at the head of this ministry. And I guarantee you this, I have told a lot of you a few of those things, and you didn't believe me. So I guarantee you nobody would believe the things that are in that book. Nobody would believe at all what a pastor goes through. Nobody. And if I wrote it in a book, you would think it was an act of fiction. It's absolutely amazing what we go through. But you know what? I signed up for this. This is completely voluntary. And you know why that happens? So that the Lord Jesus Christ could teach me exactly what it was like for him when he went to the cross. Because it was the worst experience, the worst thing that has ever happened to a human being. And yet he went there voluntarily. He wanted to do it. And I stand in that same position. And I am quite certain that he put that into me to want that exact same thing. So I don't complain about it. I can't be discouraged about it. I feel discouragement sometimes, but I can't be discouraged by that. I just get back on the horse. How about you? How about you? The future of Barah Ministries is you. The future of Barah Ministries is us. Future of Barah Ministries is me, to the degree that we're willing to participate in life, to the degree that we're willing to hear people reject us every time we talk about the King of the Universe. I'm willing. When we decide that we have a responsibility to God to do these things ourselves as individuals, then ministries are born. Because that's what a culture is. You always hear about the culture of an organization. The culture of an organization is what the individuals in the organization are willing to do. The culture of an organization is what the individuals in the organization are willing to create. And I'd like to see this be a ministry where we ask a lot less for permission and a lot more for forgiveness. I'd like this to be a ministry where we make a lot more mistakes. I'd like this to be a ministry where we waste a lot more money. Deacons Elliot and Caleb came and said, you know, we want to run the teen ministry and we want $1,000 per kid. And I said, yeah, well, with those kids you have right now, you're going to need it because those kids eat $1,000 worth of food a week. That was a joke, man. That little guy, he's the culprit. And I'm smart enough to know that if you don't have food, there's no way kids are coming to a ministry. Amen? If we ain't got donuts, y'all ain't going to be here, are you? Yeah, I know. So that's great. Whenever you ask for money, you have to have a plan, a set of decisions about what you're going to be doing to be effective. And that plan is usually put in writing. And that plan is usually announced from a pulpit so that your ass is on the line. That's what you're going to see from the people who have ministries here. Up to now, I've been the mouthpiece. No longer willing to. Now we have a church. Now let's see what we got. I'm excited about it because I have confidence in the people in this church. And I have confidence in what we're about to do. Complete confidence. I can take the criticism. It doesn't affect me. The praise doesn't either. Although I would like to see some of that once in a while. You know, the people who leave after the first session, that hurts. We need you here. When a guest comes in and we don't talk to them, that hurts. They're coming in to see if they want to be a part of us. They want to see what our personality is like. What is our personality like? Are we warm and open and intimate? Are we welcoming? We don't have to guess. We've got guests. Go ask them. Go ask them if that's their experience. Because that's what I want. I can't do it from, I got something to do up here. So I can't do it alone. But that is what I want. Now, when we decide that we have a responsibility to God to do these things ourselves, then we will be living this standard, reflecting this standard. The greatest among you will be your servant. And to quote Larry Collins, as long as we keep the interests of others first, we're probably not the problem. As long as we keep the interests of others first, we're probably not the problem. Conversely, if we have self-interest first, we probably are the problem. So that's a real easy standard that we can measure ourselves by. This ministry has not been others first. That's where we're going. And when we do, the people who come in will see that, and they will want to be a part of it because self first, everybody in the world is like that. We're not special if we do that. So, I agree with Larry's assessment. As long as we keep the interests of others first, we're probably not the problem. I look forward to seeing a ministry that is totally focused on others, with a series of ministries in it that are totally focused on others. And here are the promises of Jesus Christ. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Our closing song, God's Property.
God, the Godhead three in one is on our
Our God is sovereign, all-knowing and all-wise. He'll finish what he starts in you, believe. We are God's property, paid for at Calvary, redeemed from slavery. We are God's property, we are God's property. Indwell my Trinity, living. Paid for at Calvary, redeemed from slavery. We are God's property, indwelled by Trinity, living integrity. We're God's property.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for illuminating our path, and we pray that you guide us through the ups and downs of that path, and we know that you'll keep your promise of confirming and perfecting and strengthening and encouraging us and leading us to the destination that you set for us in eternity past. And I pray that all that are part of this ministry might step up to the arena and roll up their sleeves and bring out their ministries in service to all that you know need us, and to all those in our community who need our unconditional love and our support. We pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we're happy to represent you. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.